So before we kick off for today's episode and I introduce you to today's guest, I wanted to clear the air a little bit. So as of late, the Live Free experience has been feeling a little bit heavy for me, and I'm sure that you guys, the listeners, have sort of picked up on it in one way or another, whether that be energetically or whether that be through the show's content or otherwise. But things have been feeling a little bit heavy, and I'm a big believer that anything that's heavy is out of alignment for one reason or another. And so I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and I've come to the conclusion that it's time for the Live Free experience to change it up. And, you know, if I'm honest, I've been considering, well, maybe it's time for the Live Free experience to quote unquote close its doors. But really, if I'm honest with myself, that's not true for me. I'm certainly not done with the Live Free experience. I certainly feel like we have so much more to give. And I think that's where things have been feeling heavy, because I don't feel like I've been giving all that I can give for one reason or another. You know, possibly, well, definitely, I've put myself in a box of what I think we need to be as opposed to just being what we are. So putting it out there for you guys as listeners, over the coming weeks and months, the Live Free experience will be going through some changes. It will be going through a transformational process of its own. And so I want to invite you, this is your time to have your say. So inviting you all to reach out to me directly, reach out to the show, reach out to us on social media, send me an email, Brianna@thelivefreemovement.com. Let me know what you want to hear more of, what you want to hear less of, what kind of guests you'd like on the show in the future, what topics you want us to discuss, where you want the show to go and where you'd like us to avoid going. Because I'm committed, we're committed here at the Live Free Experience to providing you guys more and more value, more and more entertainment. And the best way that we can do that is to get as much feedback as possible moving forward. So please, inviting you, take the time, reach out, tell us what you do and don't want moving forward from the Live Free experience. Now, moving on to today's guest, I'm joined today by David Penampede, who is quite a well-known Australian Muay Thai fighter. And I have to say, he's one of the most humble athletes that I've come across. And you all know that, you know, I've spent quite a lot of time across a number of athletic industries and athletic, sporting pursuits. Spent a lot of time with various different athletes from all over the world. And David stands out as one of the most down-to-earth, approachable and humble individuals. And it was a real pleasure to actually sit down and get to know him behind the scenes. And I want to give some massive props to David for immediately snapping up the opportunity to jump on the show, to have his say, to share his voice and to share and help expand upon the sport that he loves. I say it a number of times throughout the episode, but, you know, I really can't stress enough that, you know, we're providing a free platform here for people to share more and more of their message. And it really breaks my heart when people kind of shy away from the opportunity, when they shy away from growing the niche that they love most. So a huge acknowledgement to David for like going above and beyond to make sure that this show happens, that this episode happens. A big thank you to Team Flex Australia for opening their doors to me and giving David and I a venue to sit down and have this conversation. The team at Team Flex were so welcoming, and a huge acknowledgement to them for also helping to not only grow the Live Free experience, but also to grow and expand upon David's career and opportunities as well. So without further ado, episode 87 of the Live Free Experience podcast, joined by David Penampede and yours truly, Brianna Bowley. Let's get the show on the road. All right, David, however you say your last name.
Penampede, yeah.
How are we?
Yeah, doing good. So just chilling out, and yeah, thanks for getting us to come on. We appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure. Thank you for being so like quick to snap up the opportunity. Most people I've kind of got to like dig around a bit, and I've messaged you on Instagram first and I was like, he hasn't seen it, so this is going to be those tough ones where I've got to like chase. But
I sort of saw the Instagram message after because I was at a show last night, you know, sort of popped up.
I figured like on Instagram sometimes when you're not following each other it goes through as like a request, and you don't actually get a notification. I was like,
Either he's a snob or he hasn't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely the first one. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so I guess let's start at the beginning. What got you into Muay Thai?
It was originally my mum. She started me off in a kickboxing and martial arts scene. I sort of come up in that sort of scene. I did that for about, maybe 5-6 years. So sort of like my main goal is sort of, you know, to like become a black belt, and I was sort of loving all that sort of side of things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I actually moved over to South Australia, at the time my dad was working over there. So sort of the family decided to pack up and move across country, sort of just to be all together. And it just happened to be the gym we found was a Muay Thai gym. So just started training Muay Thai, and just, just sort of blew me away. Just sort of the difference and the physicality and your respect, and that sort of side of things as well, which I really, really loved as well. So ever since my first session, I was sort of just hooked on it, and one thing led to another, and sort of just got asked if I wanted to fight, sort of gone down the track, and just sort of took off from there.
Beautiful. Can I ask then, because obviously I'm from SA, so what gym were you at?
I was at, I was actually 4 hours from Adelaide in a little town called Whyalla,
which is
only about 20,000 people, so it's a real small town, and it's crazy how it worked. Yeah, they actually had a Muay Thai gym there, so Warlocks Whyalla, Justin Fennell.
Yep.
So yeah, still keep in touch with him. You know, he's a, you know, really close friend of mine ever since I left. He's always, you know, always having chats, and he's a real close friend, so still keep in contact, so it's cool. Started off with Justin.
Cool. So what was the time frame between you starting Muay Thai and getting into your first fight?
So I started, I moved there in 2012. Originally I was getting ready for a fight end of 2012.
So you knew straight away that you wanted to get in there?
It was sort of like maybe 6 months, because I had 5 years of experience training, so Justin sort of saw, pretty good idea of what I was sort of doing at the time, and he said, you know, do you want to fight? And I was like let's give it a go, sort of thing. And we're sort of getting ready for a fight, and I actually broke my arm in sparring. I was sparring a lot of the experienced fighters, Hayden Lyon, Ed Sipmanshire, who's now living in Thailand. So that's sort of out the window, sort of pushed me back for another 6 months. So I didn't end up fighting till March 2013.
Okay.
So it was about a year and a half after I sort of started Muay Thai. But, you know, I was good, a bit more experience behind me, and I was definitely more than ready at that time come. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So your first fight was in SA?
Yeah, my first five fights were in South Australia. So it was a good introduction to the sport, you know, at the time. So definitely real thankful of those early days, especially training with like Hayden especially.
Yeah.
There's a few more experienced boys at the gym when I was coming up, so to sort of move around with those guys and knowing those guys was really cool. And even today, I was real thankful for those early days, because, you know, looking back now, like, I was just getting dashed and sparring, and it really made me a lot more tougher, you know, working with those more experienced guys. So definitely really thankful for those early harder days. Definitely.
Have I got it right? 36 fights?
Yeah, 36 fights now.
I know it's not relevant, but can I ask what the record is?
36 fights, 27 wins, one draw, 8 losses.
Beautiful. My math is shocking, so I don't know if I'm
as well. So starting to put them together now, which is cool. So just trying to get as much experience as I can. Take those hard fights, you know. I'm not about, you know, taking those easy fights. You know, throughout my career, I've always been a one stepping up and taking those harder fights, even going back to like my early days, you know, it was always stepping up, which is sort of, you know, Justin had that belief, you know, have those hard fights, and my current trainer, Denny, you know, carry that belief as well. You know, you always want those tough matches that are going to push you and elevate you. Because that's how you grow, that's how you learn. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first fight?
I do. Yeah, it was actually on Justin's show, which is cool, which was in Wales.
Shins of Steel.
So that was awesome, you know, having all your schoolmates there, and that sort of thing was really cool for your first fight. And yeah, I remember I actually was actually more nervous for my second fight, which was in Adelaide. So, but my first fight, I was just really excited to get in there and just, you know, put on a show for the schoolmates and all that. So I was so pumped, and it was such a, it just went so quick.
Yeah.
You know, looking back now, 3 2-minute rounds. It just went super fast, but I loved it. Got the win.
Very nice.
So ever since then, just been chasing that feeling,
So what was the difference then between the first and the second fight, if you were more nervous?
Well, the second fight, going to Adelaide for the first time, which, you know, it's like a 4-hour drive, so driving across to Adelaide and big city, so it was a big crowd, and just felt more nerves, you know, going, you know, not having all your friends there to support you and that sort of thing. So just felt more pressure for that second fight. And then sort of you knew what you were in for as well. You know, that first fight, you're not really sure what you're in for, what to expect. So I sort of had that sort of expectation. You sort of know what you're in for.
And I guess having that win as well.
The pressure to keep the ball rolling sort of thing. And it was actually 3 weeks after my first fight So it was really quick turnaround. I remember getting the offer. I was like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's do it. So,
Was that a win?
Yeah, I got the win as well in the second fight. So, just kept the ball rolling from there.
So how did you deal then with the pressure of the second fight? Or was it just something you kind of put your head down and...
The second fight, I actually won really comfortably. Mm-hmm. I actually fought a couple kilos lighter than my first fight. So I actually had a bit bigger size advantage over the boy I was fighting. And just the skill level as well, it was probably one of my easier fights early off as well. You know, I never had many easy fights coming up, but that was, looking back, that's probably one of the easiest matchups I've had. But control the fight and just put it on him. But I went the distance. He was a tough boy. Looking back, it was a good experience.
Beautiful. So not many losses in comparison to the wins. How do you manage a loss though?
Obviously now these days, you know, I'm fighting, you know, the best of the best, and the fights are really big. There's always a lot of the line, you know, fighting those top guys, and you know, obviously at that high level, you know, you're putting a lot into training, and there's a lot of pressure that comes with it, so it's definitely a lot harder to deal with the losses when you're fighting, when there's a lot of the line and the build-up's very big and that sort of thing. So it's definitely hard dealing with losses because you know, you always want to win, put a lot into the sport, sacrifice a lot for the sport, so it's definitely hard. But at the same time, you know, you just gotta push forward and take those learning experiences from those losses and just kind of try to move forward.
Am I right that you've just had some time off?
Yeah, I had a bit of time off after my fight in June. I fought Charlie Barb, who's currently number one in light heavyweight division. So, you know, sort of going into it's sort of been on my mind the last couple fights, sort of, you know, having a bit of a break coming up, and especially that fight against Charlie. I sort of went into that fight with it on my mind, and went into that fight wanting it to be over, sort of thing. You know, I remember just warming up out the back, just really wanting it to be over. You know, taking nothing away from Charlie, you know, he's a beast, and you know, he's one of the best in the world right now, and yeah, he's been on a tear, so definitely taking nothing away from Charlie, but just wasn't in the right mindset heading into that fight. I sort of said to Danny after the fight ended, I'm just, you know, I'm tired, you know, I need a break, and just a bit of a step back from the sport just for a little bit, just to sort of reassess and go from there. So yeah, I did that. Had about two months off the sport, pretty much completely. I kind of trained maybe five times, just like running a couple sessions here and there, just sort of to plop me along, and the break was good, you know. Let a couple little injuries sort of heal up, and just let the mind heal up. Mostly, that's sort of where, just a bit burnt out mentally, you know, fighting these big fights back to back. Been pretty busy as well the year prior to that. So yeah, just to sort of recharge a bit, and refocus, and just get that fire back a little bit.
So have you had your comeback fight yet?
Yeah, well, I was supposed to be fighting...
that's my ignorance coming through.
Frankie Georgie. I was supposed to be fighting him in 2 weeks, but for the WBC international title. So it was sort of going to be my first fight back, and yeah, I was really up for that fight, but unfortunately Frankie fractured his foot in his last fight on a ruptured up in Brisbane, so that fight's sort of fallen through, which is a shame. But yeah, I was really excited to fight Frankie, you know, he's an Aussie legend of the sport, so you know, a bit bummed about that, but what do you do, injuries happen, so you just gotta take it and sort of move on to the next one.
So do we know when the comeback is then?
So I'm heading over to Thailand in 3 weeks. I'm gonna do 3 months over there. Sort of wanted to do like a decent stint for a while now, so head over there for a couple months and just sort of pump out a few fights, and sort of my goal is just to hit that 40 fight mark while I'm over there, so that's what I'm sort of aiming for, and just pump out a few while I'm over there, and yeah, sort of come back early next year and fresh, real fresh and ready to get stuck in over here.
Very nice. So what do you think, the having that time off, what do you think the impact's been both mentally and physically now? I mean, you obviously haven't had the comeback fight yet, but you've been in, I assume, been in some sort of fight camp for it.
Yeah, definitely. Just mostly like physically and mentally, like physically just letting the body heal up and mentally just having no stress, no pressures from fighting, you know, obviously.
You've still been training in that time?
I pretty much had a month off completely.
Yeah.
So I didn't really do nothing for that first month. And the second month was just sort of easing back into it, just a couple sessions here and there, just to work my feet in a bit. But mostly just with that time off, just mentally, you know, not having any pressures of fighting, cutting weight. You know, I was fighting, like last year, I think I had 3 fights in 3 months back-to-back-to-back.
Wow.
So, you know, all the stresses of dieting, cutting away, training every day, and just little things like keeping on top of your recovery. So just fitting that in and all the sacrifices that come with fighting. So last year was great. Last year was one of my better years of my career. I had some big wins last year and I was in a real good role.
Yeah.
But sort of just all hit me back end of last year. You know, having these big fights and just back to back, it was sort of just weighing on my mind a bit and just my body was sort of feeling it. So yeah, just really definitely mentally, just to freshen up, and did really good. And I was sort of itching to get back into that back end of that second month. I just said to Dean, you know, that fight with Frankie come up. So I said, yeah, let's go. I was itching to get back into it. So I was really excited for that. But yeah, unfortunately it fell through.
Yeah. So how much are you putting like a focus into the mental side of things? Because that's kind of my jam. So
yeah, it's a big thing. It's, you know, obviously this in like the Joe Rogan podcast, and then, you know, it's sort of like a big thing coming on now with you know, the mental game and that sort of thing. It's definitely something I've never really you know, had any coaching or anything like that, but it's definitely something I've talking to Justin, those guys do some mental coaching and that. So it's something that, I think it'd be good to look into. But it's just something I've never really seriously looked into. But definitely, definitely look forward to,
Cool. It sounds like you're already kind of looking at it without, like, looking at it, so to speak. Like, do you know what I mean? To have that awareness that you needed time away because you're burnt out.
Yeah.
Like, to a degree, you're already kind of diving into it without.
And like fighting, like obviously fighting is very hard on the body physically, but like as I said, you know, the mental side and dealing with the pressures and all that, like it definitely takes a toll on the mental side of things. So it's definitely something you need to take seriously as well, which I'm starting to realise definitely.
It's a game changer.
It is. Yeah.
Cool. So can I ask then, and excuse me if this, like, feel free to scrap it if it is too personal. What did fuel the move from Whyalla?
Back to Wollongong?
Yeah.
So simply my dad, the work he was doing there was finishing up.
And so you're from here originally?
Originally from Wollongong.
Okay, cool.
And so we left for Whyalla when I was about 15 maybe. Just because dad's job finished up, and then there was really no point staying there. All our family was back down here, especially hard for mum as well, you know. All of her family's down here as well, so there was really no point staying there. At the time I was devastated, you know. I was really close to Justin and all the boys at the gym, so I was devastated coming back. But at the same time, looking back now, it was definitely the smartest move. It's, you know, now with Denny, my current trainer, and it's a lot more opportunity here in Wollongong and in Sydney. So definitely a better decision, even though it was hard. But
beautiful. So I've got, I think I told you, I had a couple of people pop up with some questions as soon as I announced that you were going to be on the show. One of them, I'm going to put it to you. What's the toughest part of the fight game for you personally?
The toughest part. There's a lot of parts of the game that is very hard. I think just juggling everything. Juggling, you know, obviously you got to work as well, because Muay Thai, we don't get a lot of money, which is a shame. And just juggling work, you know, training, your diet. The sacrifice is a big one as well. You know, you can't, obviously with the diet, you got to eat clean, sacrifice. You know, you can't be going out drinking, partying, all that kind of stuff. Takes a toll, and it's a part of the game, you know, sacrifice and discipline. It's a big part of of Muay Thai, and if you want to be serious about it, you gotta take those things serious. Yeah.
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 Cool. Can I ask how old you are?
I am almost 23.
Okay. Wow, yeah. You're young.
Yeah, 23 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I hope you don't mind, I'm going to throw you in the deep end here, because
yeah,
I know this isn't usually the kind of stuff that fighters have to consider.
Sure.
But you've mentioned there, and the reason I ask is because we do a bit of work around this. So
yeah,
think of this as like you're my case study for
okay,
today.
Sure.
I'm getting there. So you mentioned there, like in Muay Thai, there's not money in the sport.
Yeah.
What do you think needs to change within the sport to start to monetize it?
It's hard to say. Obviously now these days, sort of why championships popped up and it's really starting to push the sport. You know, it's just, we just need to get out there into that. The sport just needs that more exposure. You know,
yeah,
obviously, you know, with the UFC and MMA, you know, 10 years ago, no one knew about the sport. Then the Fertitta brothers came along and they just were throwing money at the sport and getting it on TV and getting it out there and just really pushing the sport. So we just need someone like that. And one championship started to do that, I think, and they're starting to really push the sport, which is good to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighters are getting paid a bit better money. But the sport just needs to get out there more. You know, not a lot of people know about Muay Thai, which is a shame.
Yeah.
You know, you see, you go down to a pub or, you know, people watching MMA and I hate it when it goes to the ground, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I respect like jiu-jitsu and all that sort of stuff, and that's cool. But you know, I love striking. I love Muay Thai, and then you know, you see people, they just don't like it when it goes to the ground, and they think it's boring. And it's like, why aren't you watching Muay Thai? Like,
yeah,
it's just so much more exciting and dynamic, I feel. So it's a shame, you know, the
yeah,
Muay Thai scene doesn't get the respect and recognition it deserves.
Yeah.
But hopefully with one championship, it really starts to push us forward and
yeah,
make it really grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a really interesting perspective, because, I mean, you're right. I mean, I've been to that many live UFC shows.
Yeah.
And as soon as it goes to the ground, you hear people like, stand them up and
yeah,
whatever
it's
else.
It's frustrating. Like, as a fighter, you know, it's
yeah,
very frustrating. You know, you see these fights in UFC and,
yeah,
you know, like, just the standard of striking, it's just not... it's not even on par with like the high level Muay Thai guys, and
yeah,
it's a shame, you know. Yeah, that Muay Thai doesn't get the respect
yeah,
it deserves, you know. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get there one day, and
sure,
we just need that exposure. I feel
yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think then it takes for the fighters as individuals then to start to get that exposure?
I think we just need to keep pushing and keep working at it. You know, obviously with social media getting really big these days. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. So we just need to keep pushing, and we just need someone to come along. As I say, one championship's really starting to just grow. So we need to get behind one championship.
Yeah.
It's starting to, yeah, starting to look good for the fighters.
Yeah.
And just hopefully it just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah. Exciting times, hey?
Yeah. So yeah, let's see what happens. Yeah. Hopefully you can keep getting bigger.
Yeah. Beautiful. Cool. Okay. The other question that I've had come through, future goals.
Obviously, I want to. Everyone's after that WBC world title.
Yeah.
You know, the big green belt. So that's definitely high up on the list. And I just want to fight the best guys. You know, at the end of my career, when I'm done, you know, I want to look back and say I fought the best guys. You know, I didn't dodge no one. And just to build that name for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, WBC world title is the one that really sticks out. All the top guys are sort of chasing that belt. So that's definitely the one that sort of, you know, gets me up in the morning.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Can I ask what drives you as a fighter?
Yeah, drives me as a fighter.
Might be a bit of an on the spot question.
Obviously, I love fighting. I've always been competitive.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I was a kid at school, you know, I loved PE, I loved doing sports. So I've always been competitive when it came to sports. Yeah, the physicality of Muay Thai, and it's just a beautiful sport. You know, obviously, the traditional side of the sport, which I love. And I just want to look back at the end of my career and say, I dodged no one, you
yeah,
know, I took those hard fights, and I think, especially in the Muay Thai community, they really respect that.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of my career, I want to look back and say, you know, I fought the best guys,
yeah,
and people know that,
yeah,
and just put on exciting fights for
yeah,
the fans and try to build the sport. You know, I really want to see Muay Thai start, get up there. You know, I always get the question, why don't you go over to MMA? You know, you can get more money, but it doesn't interest me. You know, I never got into the sport for money.
Yeah.
You know, I got into sport because I love, you know, obviously my mum started me with the sport, but I love the Muay Thai group from there, and I really want to see Muay Thai explode and get big. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I just had a question come to mind. There we go. Sorry, it disappeared from my head for a second there. Do you have a plan post Muay Thai?
Well, I'm a qualified carpenter.
Okay.
So that's sort of like my daytime job. But I definitely don't see myself doing carpentry for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I love Muay Thai. Definitely sort of once I'm finished fighting, look at getting into training and hopefully one day start up a gym of my own.
Yeah.
You know, and pass down what I've learned, and you know, that's why I build my name now.
Yeah.
Take those hard fights, build my name, build my reputation, and then hopefully when I finish fighting I can start get my own thing sort of going, and really give back to the sport and pass it on. Yeah.
Props to you.
Yeah.
I gotta say, and for the listeners' sake, I wanna just get across that this isn't knocking anyone who maybe doesn't feel comfortable getting on, you know, podcasts or anything of that nature, because I get everyone has their reasons. But like, yeah, you jumped at the opportunity. And
yeah.
I think it's those little like seemingly insignificant things that grow the sport. You know, as I said to you before we hit record, many of my listeners aren't affiliated with combat sports.
Yeah.
As much as there's a strong underlying combat sports theme, many of them, you know, they don't know anything about the sport. They're just curious about, you know, the athletes or understanding what it takes. So it is these little things that do help build it.
Whatever exposure we can get, you know, I'm always sort of jumping at an opportunity, you know, on a podcast or in the paper, anything like that, anything that we can sort of help grow the sport, I'm definitely all for, and I'll jump at. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Smart dude.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So training and nutrition wise, can we look at that? Like, are you doing strength and conditioning? Like, what's it kind of all look like for you?
Yeah. So I'm a big believer of running. You know, when I have a fight coming up, I'm running 6 days a week, 9 to 12 Ks a day sort of thing. Hard training, hard pad work, obviously your bag work, sparring, clinching, all that sort of stuff. Strength and conditioning, I used to do a lot of strength and conditioning probably going back 2 years ago. I've sort of stepped back a little bit on that probably the last couple of years sort of thing. Just sort of focus more on my Muay Thai. You know, sort of with me, I'd rather have good hard sparring rounds as opposed to strength and conditioning. But sort of going forward now, starting to fight those bigger guys. Me and Danny, my trainer, we're sort of looking at getting back into that strength and conditioning sort of training again. Because doing that sort of training, it does add, you know, I feel a bit with your strength and that. So definitely something to sort of look at doing again, I feel. It's just sort of hard pad work is the main one, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. How much of, and I feel like I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, how much of your life's focus is on Muay Thai?
Yeah, it's a big part of my life, obviously, you know, it's fighting at a higher level as well,
yeah.
You know, it's, and plus working during the, so I work during the day, afternoons are solely dedicated to training, so it's hard, you know, you're just doing it every day, but you know, to get to that higher level, it's what you need to be doing. You know, if you need to be all in, you can't sort of be half in, you know, especially at that higher level.
Beautiful. Is there anything that you change looking back on your career?
Like,
is there anything that, you know, you wish you had known or anything along those lines?
Not off the top of my head. You know, I'm thankful for everything that's happened in my career and in my life so far. You know, I try to look at everything, try to take the positives from everything, you know, even my losses, you know. A lot of the times I've had big losses and I've come back and I've gone on a good run of fights and I've put together some good performances. So you got to always try and take the positives away from everything.
Yeah.
So I try to look at it that way.
Yeah.
But always try to look at the positives and just learn and grow from everything. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a highlight?
Highlight of my career?
Yeah.
One that sticks out is probably my debut fight on Rebellion Muay Thai, which is for the people that don't know, which is one of the biggest, it is the biggest show in Australia, worldwide. It's recognised as a very big show. Was trying to get on Rebellion for a couple of years at the time, and just didn't work out. The timing, a couple of matches fell through, so we got the call up on a couple of weeks' notice if I wanted to fight on the next show against a Swiss, which was training in Thailand at the time, Sipmanchai, a local Sipmanchai. Ended up, and he, at the time, he was actually known as a knockout artist. He had about 20 wins, 21 wins with 20 KOs, something crazy like that. And the sort of talking point going into the fight was look, I'm going to knock me out and that sort of stuff. So I ended up knocking Looker out with a massive elbow, which sort of, you know, went a bit viral online. Nice. And I think it's got like 200,000 views or something like that on YouTube. That's probably one that really sticks out. You know, everyone was expecting Looker to knock me out and then sort of to go in there. My debut fight at Rebellion, long time coming, and to knock Looker out like that was crazy, and still can't believe it. So that's definitely a moment that sort of sticks out in my mind.
Very cool. It's just happened again. What was that question I had? It was a good one too. That's right, it'll come back to me. Is there anything else that you do want to add?
I just want to thank everyone that's sort of been with me along the way. Obviously, my early days, Justin over in SA, and he sort of hooked me up with Denny as well when I moved back down here, so I'm very grateful for that. My trainer, Denny James, you know, he's been with me for the past 6 years now, so yeah, we've been together since then, and you know, we've had some big wins, you know, a couple of losses as well, but you know, you stuck by me, and very thankful of that. My sponsors, Team Flex, for looking after me, my supplements and nutrition, real thankful for those guys. Liam, not now cryotherapy, looking after my recovery. Ever since I've, you know, started using cryotherapy, I'm a big advocate for cryo. It's definitely added a massive part to my recovery, and very thankful for how those guys have done. Aram at Sitsuthon up in Sydney, they've sort of been helping with my training in the last couple of years now, and real thankful for those guys up there as well.
Cool. That question hasn't came back to me yet, so it's can't be that important. Thank you so much for taking the time to jump on.
Awesome.
Any social media links that you want to drop?
I'm on Instagram, David _ Croc Brewer, which is the name of my gym, our gym. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. So yeah, jump on, give us a like and follow us if you're interested. It'd be really appreciated. And thanks for letting us come on and have a chat. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Awesome.
So there we have it. Now, as always, and coming back to what I said there in the intro, inviting you to have your say, and please reach out, let us know what you want more of, what you want less of on the Live Free experience. So of course you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching the Live Free experience. You can leave your reviews on iTunes by searching the Live Free experience. And of course, please feel free to share, comment, like any of our episodes or posts, because you know it's you guys that ultimately create and decide the success of this show, and every little bit counts. Never underestimate the impact and the ripple effect each and every one of you as individuals and as a collective have on this world. So you can also reach out to me directly by searching Brianna Bowley on both Facebook and Instagram. That's spelled BRIANABOWLEY. Of course, if you want to check out my coaching and consulting work for athletes, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and influencers, you can check out the Live Free Movement on both Facebook and Instagram. And of course, if you want to check out our educational platform for all of the things you didn't know you needed to know for athletes, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and influencers, you can check out the Live Free Academy at www.thelivefreeacademy.com.au or over on the Live Free Academy on both Facebook and Instagram. And finally, we are finishing up today's episode with a track from an American buddy, Nicholas Elliott, This is a real funky tune. He sent it to me a number of weeks ago and I've been vibing the hell out of it since. I will put all of the links for you to check out more of Nicholas's work, in the podcast description. But signing off today with Momentum by Nicholas Elliott. Until next time, what else is possible?
Lester. Yeah.
Waking and taking a problem. Moving around like merry-go-round. They stuck and they shaking, they tired. Not looking for answers, I don't really get it. They say they committed, but nada. But not by the way that they carry themselves, and it leaves me to wonder about them. How can they throw life away so dang easily? I guess I'm just better without them. Just me and my dreams and my faith in my people. My soldiers are better than cowards. Not hating on others, just bending the field, cause they up and they down like some trousers. Their love is like drugs at the tip, I'm on the needle. I'd rather not waste any hours. I'm off like an eagle, not looking for sequels.
Can you feel the heat? That's my man. You ain't got none, you should get some. Type of feeling that make you feel unreal. Unreal, unreal. Unreal, unreal, unreal. Can you feel the heat? That's momentum. You ain't got none, you should get some. Type of feeling that make you feel unreal. Unreal, unreal. Unreal, unreal, unreal.
On that shit don't get any closer. Vicious and looking for closure. My mission is simple, wake up and go kill it. Success is my new style of odor. Rocking the ice to get colder. In the gym building my shoulders. My why is my reason, it lasts every season. That's why I keep it in the holster. I'm guessing get me on a poster. Not hanging around like a poser. Win cause I keep my composure. When faced with challenge to get over, I speed up, I never go slower. Not hating, let's keep it all kosher. Pardon me if I'm not sober. Would you please take the keys to the rover?
Can you feel the heat? That's momentum. You ain't got none, you should get some. Type of feeling that make you feel unreal. Unreal, unreal. Unreal, unreal, unreal. Can you feel the heat? That's momentum. You ain't got none, you should get some. Type of feeling that make you feel unreal. Unreal, unreal. Unreal, 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 unreal.